Hi, and welcome to Digital Dialogues, your compact conversation on the future of tech. My name is René from Reply, and I'm really excited to announce this brand new podcast called Digital Dialogues, which will concentrate on emerging innovative technologies and, of course, on the amazing conversations we're going to have with experts in the field. And this new podcast has different themes per seasons. And the first season is going to focus on effective computing and related AI fields that will enhance how we interact with machines and that bring emotional intelligence to machines, right? So this is all about effective computing, not effective, but with an A, effective computing and emotional intelligence. So 2023 brought us the brains for machines with the larger rollout of large language models and Gen AI. And 2024 basically brings us the emotions for machines with effective computing. Obviously, that's an oversimplification, but I'm sure you get where I'm going at. And so let's talk about effective computing here. And let me introduce you to the topic before we will actually get joined by guests in the following episodes. But I want to make sure we're all on the same page. So this first episode is more of an explainer about effective computing and how we're looking at it and what we're going to cover also in subsequent episodes with guests. So effective computing is a field, is a research field that focuses on giving machines emotional intelligence, right? And you might also call it artificial emotional intelligence. And so effective computing is the study and development of systems and devices that can recognize, interpret, process, and then also simulate human effects, right? And so the interface should have the ability to understand the emotional state of the person interfacing with it, and then also respond accordingly. And it should also have its own personality to give it even a more personal and emotional touch, right? And all of this should avoid the typical rule system of past technologies like the ones you see in sentiment analysis. Effective computing, like I said, consists of two main components. The first one is detecting and recognizing emotional information. And the second one is, you know, creating believable, convincingly simulating emotions. So you have the input and the output side of things. And you will see that applied a lot to digital humans, which is a form of embodied AI, right? So with digital humans, you might say this is digital embodied AI, whereas physical embodied AI is typically built with robots, right? You have human-shaped robots or more task-oriented robots, and they are also, of course, a form of physical embodied AI. But with digital humans, we have a form of a digital embodied AI, and they can be created with 3D modeling, 3D rendering, or even deepfakes. One example is from Meta here, where they've built this kind of chatbots where they have personalities. So they worked with a bunch of celebrities and created this Meta digital human clones, right? And they gave also these clones of these humans an emotional state to it, right? And so you have these digital human clones where you can have an interaction with. But you can also have digital humans that are created from a 3D scan, right? Where you basically bring a person into a 3D capture dome, like one we have at Reply, where you can then 3D capture a person, and then we can use this as a 3D model of that person, and we just give it a brain and add some other stuff for it, and then we have all digital human. Or we also work together with the Luigi Einaudi Foundation to bring Luigi Einaudi back to life, because you have to know Luigi Einaudi was the second president of Italy and an economics expert that is not living anymore. But there is the foundation, and what we did at Reply is we recreated Luigi Einaudi as a digital human, and now you can go to the Luigi Einaudi Foundation website, launch a session, and have a chat with Luigi Einaudi and see actually the visual representation of him as a 3D animated character. And behind this is also a large language model that is fine-tuned and also specialized with REC for his knowledge. You know, it was basically injected with all his papers, his books, and so on. So he's waste knowledge, and you can have a great conversation about with him about certain economic principles. But again, that's a 3D digital human, and another form can also be AI-generated videos, which oftentimes are called deepfakes, right? And there's also a lot of interesting stuff happening in that field. And it's not always the bad actors that are misusing this technology for abuse, abusing it, this technology. But there are also, of course, good examples where you can leverage this kind of deepfake technologies to create digital humans. But what are these digital humans missing? Well, these digital humans are missing a humanization of the interface. And they're getting better and better every month, but they still lack a very important aspect. They lack the ability to simulate empathy and emotions, both through language and expressiveness. And we can, of course, like I said, understand, first of all, the emotions and the state of that human. And that's the first step, right? And for the visual aspect, we can think about the sensor seeing, basically, right? And so we need to understand basically what is the face of the user, what is their expressions they're having. Because when you make an angry face, it might look way different than a sad face or a joyful laughing face, right? So that's the first piece. But also the hearing, right? Like when we hear the tonality of a person that is talking, when we analyze the audio, you might, for example, hear that when a person is angry, they usually talk slightly faster, their pitch is a little bit higher, and intensity is, of course, very high. In comparison, when the person is sad, they will speak slightly slower, they will have usually a slightly smaller, narrower pitch range, right? And the pitch average is slightly lower, and of course, they're usually talking with much less intensity. Right? And so you can analyze all of these. And then, of course, you need to output that. You need to exhibit the visual and vocal aspects as well on the output side, right? And so you can do this by having expressive animations on this avatar, on this digital human, right? And so you can basically say we have two sides of the things. We have the input side of things, analyzing, understanding the humans with sensory data. And of course, we can do this with speech emotion recognition. We can analyze, just like I made some examples, the kind of tonality of what the person is saying. But we can also understand the conversational aspect. For example, if we take this audio feed, take this audio feed and then, you know, convert it into a text, then we can basically also use a large language model, for example, to analyze what was said in the conversation and to give us the sentiment of that conversation, right? So it's two things when you hear something. It's the audio aspect, the tonality, but it's also what is being said, right? And so you can use two different methods to analyze that. And then, of course, you can also use the interpretation of the facial expression, right? So you might just talk normally, but you make a very angry face, for example, right? And so you might use all these different signals for understanding the human you're talking to. The machine needs to understand the human. But then it also needs to simulate the effects. And that's the output side of things. And first of all, we can use speech synthesis. Obviously, you would use a neural voice, a modern kind of speech synthesis, text-to-speech system, where you can also give it a certain tonality, right? With modern, like Azure AI Speech, for example, or AWS, or Google, all the big cloud vendors, they all have kind of offerings. You will also find it at smaller startups, where you can create very good sounding voices, neural voices, that also can attach to this kind of emotional state, where you can basically provide also the sentiment, right? And obviously, the other aspect is the animation side of things for output. So you can use VSME generation from your speech synthesis, which will drive certain expressions. Or even cooler is you have other technology, for example, from NVIDIA, Audio to Face and others, where you can actually then drive a 3D character and, you know, define the animations. It's a huge growing field, and we're going to discuss it a lot with the experts there. And like I said, it's not only digital humans. I just use that as one example, but you can imagine it could be other types of interfaces and machines. And the whole part about it is, how can I enhance the UX? How can I enhance the user experience by providing artificial emotional intelligence, right? And so this is what we're going to cover in the future episodes, like I said, with guests and not only visual systems, but also non-visual AI systems. And this is what we'll talk about in the future. And for today, I thank you for joining me for Digital Dialogues, your compact conversations on the future of tech. Watch our blog, follow our social media channels, and subscribe to our Reply podcast on all your favorite podcast platforms to not miss an upcoming episode. And of course, you can listen to all previous episodes of other podcasts I did and also my colleagues did at any time at reply.com. Until then, take care and see you soon. Bye-bye.